equal time. Another viewpoint, other considerations. Equal time.
Good afternoon. I'm Carl Ettenayer, today's host for Equal Time Radio. Usually I'm the Monday host. I'm sitting in for Anthony Polina today. My theme, as usual, is energy, food, and the local economy at the end of the age of oil. I've got a blog on the same subject. The blog's called Relocalizing Vermont. It's one of the many blogs at the Vermont Commons website, vtcommons.org. Just go to vtcommons.org, click on the blog link, or type in vtcommons.org/blog. And the audio of the shows I host is posted at equaltimeradio.com, usually 24 hours or a little later after the show takes place. And today we have a great show. Jim Merkel, he's about to lead a 350-mile bicycle tour through Vermont in April to promote the transition from oil dependence to community resilience. And then in the second part of the show, numerous guests will take an in-depth look at a forgotten 19th century wonder plant that small farmers say could be a boon to them in the 21st century if it's re-legalized. Got a few calendar items, and do we have Jim on the line, Artie? Okay, well, we'll go through some calendar items as we're trying to bring Jim up. Tomorrow, the full house in Montpelier is scheduled to vote on the marriage equality bill. The Freedom to Marry Task Force is urging its supporters to come to the State House all day to see and be seen. It's not clear when the vote is going to happen, so bring a book, or maybe bring some knitting, or bring a pocket radio and tune it to WDEV, but be sure to bring your phone so you don't annoy the others there who may not be so interested in listening to WDEV. And then coming up on Saturday in Montpelier, Transition Town Montpelier is having an open space meeting around the theme Feeding Our Communities. It's 11 to 4, starting at 11, so you have time to go to the Farmer's Market. The Winter Farmer's Market is still going on this month, the first and third Saturdays. So you can go to the Farmer's Market at 10 and come to the Unitarian Church at 11. And the open space framing question is, what steps can we take in this next growing season and beyond to feed our neighbors and ourselves, to put up and store food for the winter, and enrich the soil? It's going to be a time for networking, sharing news and information. It's free. Donations are accepted to cover the cost of the event. And please bring potluck food, a plate and a mug, and, silverware, and flyers or other information about what you're working on for the networking table. And you better come early, too. You know, Monday night was when Mark Krawczyk, we had him on Monday of last week, talking about converting lawns to gardens. He was giving a talk on that in the info shop in Burlington that same night or the next night, and that was packed. And then Monday night in the Kellogg Hubbard Library in Montpelier, 80 people showed up. And I don't think that room could take much more than 80 people. So very popular, and we're going to continue along a similar theme, Feeding Our Communities, 11 to 4 on Saturday. Come early. Your phone calls are welcome, 244-1777, or toll-free, 877-291-8255. We're going to go now to Jim Merkel. He's the author of Radical Simplicity, Sustainable Lifestyles for Global Equity. He now runs a global living project, and he'll be in a group of cyclists bicycling 350 miles through Vermont this month to raise awareness about climate change and what communities here in the state are doing to transition from oil dependence to community resilience. Jim, welcome to Equal Time.
Hey, great to be here, Carl.
So tell us about the Global Living Project. What is that?
Well, we started in 1996, and our whole question, the main question was, what would it look like for a person to live a sustainable lifestyle in the Northern Hemisphere, in a rich, wealthy nation on planet Earth, considering we share the Earth with close to 7 billion other human beings now, as scientists estimate 25 million other species, and we have thousands of generations hopefully will come after us. Well, what would a lifestyle look like that would be fair and equitable among the planet that we are living on? So we started to do that in 1996 as an experiment in British Columbia, and we monitored our ecological footprint for a six-week period, quantifying every single thing we consumed. And we could then report our footprints and compare it to the research done by 150 other nations on Earth and see how we shape up. So, from that, we learned a lot. And we were able to actually get our footprints down below a person from China and just above a person from India. and still actually have quite a good quality of life.
And that was back in 96.
Yeah, so we've run 5 research institutes since then to do this experiment with different groups, and found that, you know, different groups can actually do that. And since then, the work of the Global Living Project has been to spread some of what we've learned and work with other, you know, the new things coming out from time to time, such as, say the transition towns, locavore movements, looking at building skills. How do we do this stuff, both in our lives and in institutions? So I also worked for 2 years at Dartmouth as Dartmouth College's sustainability coordinator. And so now the Global Living Project is also working with other institutions to help, like, for example, colleges or municipalities work toward sustainability.
And now you're going to take some time to bicycle through Vermont. Why 350 miles?
Well, that's a number that Dr. James Hansen, who's, I would say, one of the leading scientists on planet Earth around climate change. He's worked with, actually, the U.S. government, but he's kind of the whistleblower during the Bush years to say his science was being altered by the Bush administration.
Amazed he kept his job during the Bush years.
if people remember from the Inconvenient Truth movie, he was the guy who was being grilled by even, I think, Al Gore then in Congress. Why is your science being changed? And he was a humble bureaucrat there saying, well, I didn't actually do the change. So he's been being grilled, but he's an honest scientist, and he's basically saying that if we want to have a planet that looks anything like the one that we know now, that we'll have to bring our carbon levels up to 387 parts per million now, back down to 350, if we want to have a climate that is anything like what we know now.
We had Bill McKibben on the show earlier this year, and he was saying that 350 is the most important number in the world right now. He wants to get that into everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And sounds like you're part of that effort.
So we're part of the effort, and we thought we could maybe eat 350 muffins as we crossed over 20 days. Or we're going to try to get 350 new members to the Sierra Club, because the Sierra Club's one of our sponsors, and I was actually elected to 3 offices out in California on the Sierra Club. And way back then, we formed a chapter called the Alternative Transportation Task Force of the Sierra Club. And in our town of San Luis Obispo, got up to $6 million for new bike lanes. And we actually completed a complete interconnected bike lane system in a city of 40,000 people, county of 200,000. All the surrounding outlying towns had a cycling plan with bike lanes, connecting the towns within each town. Amazing things happened in 6 years through a lot of the efforts of the Sierra Club, but also, you know, just how can we reduce our impact? This was in the early 90s. So I've been a longtime lover of cycling and also cycling advocacy, and I believe that, you know, to really encourage cycling, you have to make it safe for cyclists. So that's another big message we have as we go. And also, cycling is so much fun. So I think it's something that once people get addicted, it's hard to ever stop, because you just have so much fun when you're out doing it.
How big a group do you expect to have on the tour?
Well, we have 4 of us on the tour team, and one is a photographer, one's a blogger, one's helping with documentation, and I'll be the one who's putting together the PowerPoint presentation. So as we go, we'll interview people who are doing Transition Town initiatives. We'll also interview people who are just doing exciting things. So we're stopping at college campuses, at schools, and we'll small farms and things along the way. We'll take photos, we'll interview them, and then we'll fold in their wisdom nuggets into our next slideshow. So by the time we get to the Sustainable Energy Fair up in Cannes, Potsdam, we'll have quite a slideshow there.
So you are inviting other cyclists to come along with you, right?
Yes. People can join us and on our Blogspot, which is Cycling for Sustainable Future Blogspot, and you just Google Cycling for Sustainable Future, you're going to find us and the blog, and that'll have where you can meet up with the tour. We'll have our departure times for each little leg of the cycling on there.
And also where you're speaking.
Yeah, so we're speaking all over the place. You have 20 events, and I think your listenership should be hi out there, everybody. The Mountain School, is that in Verscher? Would people...
Not sure about that, but certainly, White River Junction, Norwich, Montpelier, Cabot, Craftsbury, Burlington, Middlebury, these are South Lincoln. These are all in the listenership here.
Okay, fantastic. Yep. So, you know, our first one, the kickoff is at the Upper Valley Co-op in White River Junction. That's on April 9th. Thursday night, 5 o'clock. So it's kind of a happy hour. It'll be festive with some food and some, you know, just some people coming down on their bikes. They're going to be able to cycle with us because there'll still be daylight going north. And the Norwich Inn has been kind and generous enough to sponsor us with a night there at the Norwich Inn.
Mm.
We have some really nice sponsors. The Sierra Club has just really come behind us with some good support. And both Vermont chapter and also the Upper Valley group, and Ibex is going to outfit us with gear, with nice warm wool clothing, a local sustainable business, giving people, you know, really quality wool clothing to go out in the outdoors. So and the Upper Valley Co-op is also sponsoring us this with this kickoff, so that'll be a fun event. Come down on your bike, 5 o'clock Thursday, to the Upper Valley Co-op, one of my favorite co-ops on the planet. That'll be fun. And then we'll cycle the next day up to Verschier, which is the mountain school. And the program won't actually be till Saturday, but it'll be at 10 in the morning. And that one's focused on real-world sustainability, which is what are the real nuts and bolts of what we can do. And a lot of people, you know, feel skeptical, or they've tried some things and had some, you know, tough times with making this transition to sustainability. Anything from trying to figure out how to do a composting toilet legally, or how to grow enough food and store it in a root cellar. So some of these practical things, or how to cycle in the winter. You know, we hope to have, you know, some thoughts and ideas, but we don't have all the answers, of course, but just to offer some of our experiences. And then we'll get into that same evening, Saturday the 11th, we'll be at the Bear Palm Bookstore. So that'll be a time for me to share some of Radical Simplicity, my book. It'll be a bit of a reading and, you know, a time to converse around it. And they'll have some refreshments for people who come. That's at 4:30 in the afternoon on Saturday. Bear Pond, I'm sure people know in the area, is one of those great places where you get the good books that you're looking for when you want to find a good information on local, you know, how to do this stuff. They're a good source there.
They have a lot of them in stock, and if they don't have them in stock, they can order them, and they can even have them sent home to you.
Right. Whenever people say, can I get your book on Amazon, I say, of course you can, but I'd rather you go to a local bookseller like Bear Pond Books. And my book's now in the third printing, so, it's done quite well locally, and, you know, people are still interested in it. Actually, I've gotten more interest in it, even though it was published in 2003, just as, you know, say the government is trying to tell us, well, stimulate your consumerism, and that's what's going to save our economy, right?
We're talking with Jim Merkel. He's the author of, let's mention the name of your book while you're talking about it, Radical Simplicity, Sustainable Lifestyles for Global Equity, and he's going to be starting on April 10th on a 350-mile bicycle ride through Vermont. The numbers here are 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. So you also, in your publicity for this, you talked about finding information about transition towns in Vermont and spreading it from one town to another.
Yeah, that's for us a big focus. It's one of the more exciting things we've seen is towns trying to transition away from carbon, away from burning fossil fuels, and really addressing the peak oil issue and climate change issues, but doing it in a way that to me is incredibly creative, in that it gets people to form in small groups and put their heads together in what they call this open space process. But basically, it's a hyper democratic method to come together and not get sitting in a boring meeting with three people talking and everyone else listening. This puts people into small teams where people can create a little initiative. Say, let's figure out how we can get more local food into the high school, or how can we, you know, support better bike lanes in our community. So people in the communities actually generate the ideas and then take responsibility for making them happen. But I just recently went and met with you, Carl, of course, and lots of others. It was a packed weekend of being trained to do transition town work in Montpelier. But our tour really wants to just get glean the wisdom nuggets from towns who are having some experiences.
I'm sorry, the timing of your tour doesn't work out to come through Montpelier on Saturday when we'll be having one of those open spaces, as I was just saying, and feeding the communities. That would be great for you to document.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do if we can come on another, you know, and while we're there, we're hoping to. Saturday, so that's Saturday, April 11th.
Saturday, April 4th is when we're having
our
open
space. Okay,
you're
doing yours the week before.
That's right.
Yeah. But the following week, we will be at the Bethany Church, so in the evening, 7:30 to 9, and that's going to be a radical stimulus program, which is basically looking at what are the 1,001 ways other than, say, stimulating consumerism to deal with these bigger issues on our planet, but locally, organic food production.
That's a really important set of issues. So give the website for this cycle trip one more time.
Okay, it's Cycling for a Sustainable Future, and that's the blog spot.
So Cycling for a Sustainable Future, so put that into a search engine, and that'll turn up your blog, which is at blog spot.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and I also have the website is Radical Simplicity, which will have the information also.
RadicalSimplicity.org.
Org, yeah.
We've been talking with Jim Merkel. He's with the Global Living Project and the author of Radical Simplicity. And Jim, stick around for the beginning of the next segment of the show. I'd like to get your perspective on Lorac as a cyclist.
Okay, sure.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.